Good job, you guys. They rock, don't they? The title of our message this morning is See, and Troy told me just after first service it's the shortest message, title of a message ever. But the reason I wanted to give that message title is because my little guy, he's a year and a half, and when he wants to show me something, he looks at it and he points his little finger and he goes, "See? See?" And then if I don't acknowledge it right away, "See?" You know, and he says it a whole bunch of times to me. I'm like, "Oh, I see what you're saying, buddy." And I thought it was kind of fitting because I think that's what the word does for us. It's kind of sometimes God just gently, you know, he's just going, "Do see." And that's just where God has had my heart as I've been kind of prepping and praying for us as a church. But the first thing I want to do this morning is really pray as a church. And the way we're going to do it is a little different rather than just me pray. What I want you to do is kind of look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, what's up? My name is blank." So go ahead. There you go. Good job. I hear you from a mile away, Brandon. Good job. And then the second part of the conversation we just started is, "Will you pray with me?" And now what you're going to do is with those, if there's two of you, I want you two to look at one more person, or you can have more than three. But anyways, you're going to ask the next person. You can even tell them your names. You can say, "Will you pray with me?" Good job. Hopefully they said yes. So the way it's going to work is one of the people in your group now, you're going to choose one person to pray out loud. And so like first service, it was funny because John's sitting here and I'm like, "Hey, if there's a pastor in your group, that doesn't mean they have to pray. It's not like a holiness competition here. If you're the one saying that pastor should pray, it's probably you. That's probably the Holy Spirit telling you." But what you're going to do is just pick one person in your group. And that person's literally going to pray out loud, and the rest of the group is just going to affirm that prayer. And it works best if we do this nice and loud, and then I'll come in and pray, and you guys can all kind of be my buddies in just a second. Okay, cool? Go, ready? One, two, three, go. I'll give you about 30 more seconds. And God, thank you for our time together. Thank you for this year. Thank you for what you're going to say to us today, Lord. Would you please speak? We invite you in. Would you prep our hearts for your word, God? And Lord, we just don't even want to waste time. Can you just make today about you and speak to us? So thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. Hey, good job. You guys are like doing like a real church prayer thing. Clap it up for yourselves. That's awesome. Sorry, I'm the youth guy, so I'm going to make you do that stuff. So anyways, they have to deal with it every week, so feel good. But I do love this time of year. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and hope you got to enjoy some time off and some good food and all that, because now you have 2 days for your New Year's resolution, and it's coming quick. I don't know. I've been eating cookies as fast as I can until January 1st, you know. My wife, I think, was trying to send me a message because she gave me a Fitbit for Christmas. I'm like, dang, we're going to be serious this year, you know. I don't know. But I saw this funny image. Go ahead and throw that up there. Yeah, that's me. I'm the December one. But anyways, I think, you know, maybe I think about using my gym membership a lot, you know. I use it for 2 weeks, and then for 50 weeks, I think about using it. And then I'm like, man, I wonder if my gym membership is thinking about me too, you know. So anyways, but I do love New Vision. I do love when we have hope and that fresh start and that time to just turn the page, because we all need that. You know, I was praying for church and just for this morning and what God would have even me say and what he was like putting on my heart. And I really felt like the thing he just wanted me to start with is just the source of our clarity and the source of our vision. Like, what is the source of those fresh starts? And we're going to get in the Word and unpack it in just a second. But literally, like, any hope we have, any New Year's resolutions, any success in that is because of Jesus. And I want us to start with that this morning, because what Christ has done and is doing is what makes it all possible. It's not just this Christian thing we do when we pray, like we just prayed together. It's not just this Christian thing we do before a service starts. When we have lunch together or whatever and we pray before our meal, it's not just this thing we're supposed to do. It's like, it's a literal amazing miracle for us. And it's not some good luck charm when I go on my road trips. Dear Lord Jesus, please help our trip, you know? And like, we do that, and it's so much more than that. And I love that it's so much more, because we literally are talking to God. And right now, like this breath I just took, that's because of God. The beat my heart just took, that depended on God. And man, I don't want us to get like hyper-spiritual or legalistic this morning, or on the flip side, please don't feel condemned if your prayer life isn't perfect. Throw that out of your mind. But I think sometimes I just need to be reminded, and when the year starts, just to have that perspective, that my life depends on God, and it's a joy. And the crazy part about all that is he's stoked about you. Like, he loves you. Amen. Yeah, there we go. We got somebody awake still. In spite of your bad gym membership habits. And in spite of, if you are good about going to the gym, I know some people are awesome about that. I'm just horrible about it. But if you are awesome about that, in spite of your holiday drama, like, your time with God does not, it's not, like, the foundation is not your perfection. And if we would open our Bibles to Romans 5, we're going to look into that a little bit. The heading in my Bible says, peace with God. The first word here is therefore, and whenever you see that word therefore, just think to yourself, why does it say therefore? Because what that means is for that reason. And so whenever a text says therefore, it's trying to tell you that there's some context here. And the context that this is pointing to is Romans 4:25, where Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And so we know, therefore, Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And then in 5, it starts with this. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I know a lot of you have heard this before. I know that we get to hear this stuff, and Romans is such a cool place for us to be. But my question this morning is, like, do we really see it? Do we really get what this is saying? Do we understand what this means for us? And that's our first point this morning, is peace with God. The reason we have this right and privilege and can even pray is because we have peace with God through faith in Jesus. And can I encourage you this morning that if you came into this place with like weight and shame and you're feeling guilty or whatever it was, but you know Jesus, you have peace with God. Breathe. Because it's not all about you. Even when you come up and, like, when I first got asked, I remember, like, 4 years ago, when I first got asked to come up here, I was just like, I can't do it. My heart beats too fast, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And it's funny how that happens. And it wasn't in this, like, Corey, you're good enough, Corey this, that I had peace about standing up here. It was about me going, hey, this is not all about me. Whew. Good. Amen, brother. But I love that because we can rejoice in that. And it's so hard for me sometimes because we make choices all the time, like every day, good and bad. And when we make a good choice, sometimes we're like, God must be happy with me. And when we make a bad choice, we're like, God must be mad at me. And it's crazy. I don't think that if we look at this passage, I don't think that that's doctrinally correct. Listen to it. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How do we have peace with God? Through Jesus, not through perfection. And that's what every other religion teaches. It's really interesting to me that they teach you got to work your way to heaven. You got to do this and this and this and this, and then maybe you're good enough. And that's the crazy part about Christianity is like heaven came to us. God sent his son to die for you and for me, and he rose again. And we know that those works are just a byproduct. Greg explained this part really good last week. I thought it was awesome because he said, like, what is our route to freedom? What is your route to change? What gives you hope to change? And it's by sitting at Jesus' feet, by spending time with God, by looking into his eyes. And that's how we get to change. It's not change, then you get to know him. It's get to know him and you'll see change. I was driving home from a market in Sun Valley a couple weeks ago. Kenji and I have this little t-shirt business, and we had a show up there, and, you know, we work hard at those shows. It's like these super long days. You're there from, like, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. talking to people all day, and it's a really cool situation for us. It helps her to be a stay-at-home mom, and I'm just exhausted coming home. It's Sunday night, it's like 9:30, and I pass that little rest area after Bellevue, and there's the little hill, you know, and then you're like in the middle of the Sahara for a while. And like, so I'm driving down that road, and I start to like zone out, like to the point where I don't think I blinked for a while. You know, when you start, like you're just, you know, going. And I'm driving, and I'm just like, don't even have thoughts. I'm just exhausted. And all of a sudden, I have these, I see these red and blue lights, and sadly, they're not Christmas lights, and I'm going, dang it, man, and my heart is pounding, and I'm like, oh, no, this cop's getting behind me. He's going to pull me over, and I hit my brake, and my stomach starts to do that thing that only, like, cops behind you does, you know what I mean? I'm like, how do they do that to me? And all of a sudden, I check my speed after all these emotions have just happened, and I'm not even speeding, and I'm like, wow, And I'm like, wait, what did I do though, you know? And I'm driving and my heart's still pounding and I start to find a good spot to kind of pull over and he's right up on me and all of a sudden he just, shoo. I'm like, all that just happened. I was like from zone to like, shoo, you know? If I would have had a Fitbit, then my heart rate thing would have been going off, you know? And luckily I got one after, so now I'll know. But it's crazy. Sometimes I wonder if we treat God that way. Like, if God is this being who's just ready to strike if you mess up. Don't you mess this up, or I'm going to get you. And I got to thinking, like, what if when a cop was pulling me over, what if it was, like, a friend that I loved? What if it was, like, a parent that I depend on and trust? Maybe I wouldn't have that stomach thing going, you know what I mean? And when God was going to say something to me, I'd probably be like, man, I wonder what he has to say. I'm so glad he's getting my attention. And if we get this, we get to stop looking at God as the judge who is going, don't you mess this up, because we have peace with God through Jesus. And it brings up Romans 6, and I don't want to skip over Romans 6, because Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. But I think there's a reason why God put chapter 5 before chapter 6 here. I really think we're supposed to get this before we're so worried about every work. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Mark 10, 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And if we believe that all things are possible with God, those works start to actually become possible. And I don't mean this in a negative way or anything, but for me to love people like the way Jesus calls me to love people is a miracle. And you're not honest. But anyways, just kidding. But it really is amazing to love people the way Christ would have us love them. And even yesterday on our little verse of the day on our Facebook, it pops up and it's just love your enemies. Like, do good to them and you'll have rewards in heaven. I was sitting there dwelling on that yesterday going, man, this is a miracle for us to love like God wants us to love. And it's so good. But we have to get this figured out before we get this figured out. In Philemon 1:25, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And I heard a guy say, at some point, I don't know why, I just remember it, but in this podcast, a guy said, and it was so good for me at the time, he just said, grace cancels guilt, and it brings peace, and it brings hope to us. Which kind of leads into our second point, is real hope. As I said earlier, I love that around New Year's, there's this different hope of what is possible. And you might look at last year and go, you know, last year was blank, whatever it was, you know, and maybe it was good, maybe it was bad, whatever. But this year I'm going to go for that. I'm going to go for this. And verse 3 speaks into hope like this. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. No loud amen there. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. On this passage, I read one theologian. He says, I would rather have God just sprinkle perseverance and character and hope on me as I sleep. I could wake up a much better Christian. But that isn't God's plan for me or any Christian. Suffering opens that door. Not many of us woke up this morning going, man, I slept so well last night, and my character really grew last night. And man, I just am ready to persevere today because I actually got 9 hours. You know, that might be a little true, but not, you know what I mean. And it's crazy because with the Christian, and if we really believe this scripture, in the things you and I are suffering in, we more go, God, I trust your process. Bring what you want my way. Would you use it to grow me? I don't want my suffering to go to waste. And personally, my prayer kind of ends up with, and would you help me and be with me? Because suffering is hard. Kenji and I, we used to work in Alaska, actually, and so we would road trip all the way to Juneau, and it's a pretty long drive, and then ferry rides and all this stuff, and I found out, we were newly married, it was our first year of marriage when we took this job, and I found out Kenji, like, loves to read out loud as we drive, and it's kind of cool. She's like my personal Audible subscription, you know, and it works out well. It's pretty cheap, too. Well, sometimes it's cheap, but anyways, yeah. Sorry, that's not in my notes. But anyways, so we used to read a lot of books together and stuff. And then it's funny, last year we took a little road trip and she's like, hey, I got a book for us to read on the road trip. And it was the Unbroken book about Louis Zamperini's life. And I'd seen the movie and a lot of people have seen it. It's a good movie. But when you read the book, man, they just give so much more detail. And true stories are kind of a pull for me, so I was like way into it. I was already zoning like I was on the way home from Haley, like 5 minutes into her reading this book, you know? And I'm just listening, and it's crazy, all the stuff they go through. Louis is this world-renowned runner, and he's going to be an Olympian, and he ends up going to war. and he's a pilot. He's on a plane, and they get shot down. And they're adrift in the Pacific on a life raft for 47 days. And during the 47 days, there's like sharks. Actually, that part in the movie is actually real. I thought that part was fake, you know, in the movie. They doctored it up for Hollywood. But like literally sharks pop their boat multiple times. And they're starving. And there's the sun is just beating them down. And they don't have water. And they're going through all this stuff. And they think they're finally saved. And we're only like halfway through the book. So I'm going, man, they're not really going to be saved yet. But anyways, they think they're going to be saved. And the people who they're thinking are their rescuers end up being the enemy. And so they become prisoners of war for 2 more years. And he just tells his story through these 2 years, and it's crazy, all the suffering and torture and tough things they go through. But as he got older, he wrote, "Sometimes what we see as loss turns out in the end to be gain, and sometimes a gain is a loss. I try not to be too swift to pass judgment on any situation anymore, preferring instead to be patient and take the long view, because I believe that in the end, all things work together for the good." That is real hope. That's like believing Romans 8:28. And it's crazy to me what they went through. It's crazy to me. And then for this guy to go here, Billy Graham, and get saved. And it's such a cool book if you ever want to read it. And it inspires me because sometimes I feel like I'm a sissy in suffering. But God gives us stability in that. Point number 3 is vision. And this is our last point. But peace with God and hope sparks real lasting vision. And like I said earlier, I'm a vision guy. I love it. I love like hiking and just seeing where we're going to go. And you're kind of like, man, we can do this. And Jason and I get to do some hikes during the summer. And it's so fun. And it's like, I need it. You know, I think we all need it to some level, but I just need it to happen on some form or fashion. And Proverbs 29 like really solidified that for me. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Isn't that good? I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense to me. And sometimes in that suffering and in that growing process, I think my vision gets kind of squashed. And I think that happens for a lot of us. That's why the gym is full for a month, and then it's kind of dies down, is because like our vision sometimes gets a little bit squashed by the world and by the enemy and by things we hear and or whatever the dream killer is for you or me. We lose a little bit of perspective. We kind of get off track a little bit and we give in. And I'm not here to be some prosperity guy, because I don't think everything works out exactly perfect when it's our vision. But when our vision is actually from God and in his purpose, like Romans 8:28 says, and it's not just my own ideas. We get to see verse 5-8 right here. "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And getting that is where I see like the birth of vision. It's where I see like just real success. When I was in the 6th grade, I found out I needed glasses, and one of my friends didn't quite get it all the way. I was trying to explain to him because he thought I was blind. I'm like, dude, I come to school every day. What are you talking? And he like didn't get it. And so I'm like, hey man, like I'm not blind, you know, and I can see, and I just can't see right. And I remember like trying to explain it as a little kid, like, I can see, I just can't see right, man. And he's kind of chuckling like, whatever, I don't know. And we're just little kids, and that's our own reasoning and understanding. But it's crazy how God uses some of this stuff. There's a guy, Philip Barlow, he paints pictures from the view of someone who has poor vision. If you want to throw some of those up there for us. That's a painting. And then there's a couple more of them. Aren't they amazing? Like, artists are so creative, and he's so talented. But that's a blurry picture. Like, it's blurry. And the painter makes it beautiful. not the person in the picture, it's the painter. And maybe for you, like maybe you need God to give you some encouragement today, and I would encourage you to just ask him to help you see right. Maybe you just need some fresh vision today because God's the painter. And that's what the gospel does for us. We get to have our little blurry image of who we are, and God makes it beautiful as we spend time, as we trust, as we rest in him. The band's going to come out in just a second, and the communion tables are out. And so we invite you to take communion and take some time at Jesus' feet. Take some time to really pray and enter in, because you have this ability that depends on God. And he gives you permission to talk with him. And you can sit at his feet. If you don't know Jesus, we as a church would love to pray for you. We actually prayed for you this morning. And if you want that wall that's between you and God to come down, ask him. A lot of weeks, Greg does a great job at leading people in that prayer, and I love that. I think it's so important to open the door for us to be led into what Christ is saying to us and what he's doing for each of us. But this morning, I even wrote out a little prayer so I could lead you guys, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit was like, no, have them go to their group that they prayed with at the beginning. And so if anybody does need Jesus this morning, what I want you to do is just go to the little group you prayed with at the start. They can lead you. They might not know it all the way. They might not feel like it all the way, but we do it every week. They know how to do it. And God's going to guide it. God's going to help you enter in. God's going to give you that freedom. And man, I think that he'll give you that clarity and help you see. Let's pray. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the gospel. Lord, would you help us to get it? Would you help us to see clearly? Would you open our blind eyes in those moments? Would you give us vision for the future? Would you help us to love our neighbors like we're supposed to love our enemies like you call us to, because we have peace with you and you're the one changing us and transforming us? God, would you use our church and our city? Would you fill this room up? Not because we're a super religious place, but because we just know Jesus and we want others to know you. And God, like, I love the pictures you give each of us in our lives of just the brevity and joy of relying on you. I love that I get to have my little guy Emmett. It just depends on me about all these funny things. It makes us laugh. I pray that we would laugh with you and trust you, God. And this morning, would you just help us to enter into your word throughout our week and remember that part and just give us that stability as we move forward into the new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.